Let's go into the world. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. I will say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening, this morning, that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. I will declare and decree at the end of today's meeting that since we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Matthew's Gospel 26, verse 41. Matthew's Gospel. You are the God who answers prayers. Matthew's Gospel 26. We're looking at watch and pray. And I hope that this meeting that we've had has stirred you up in the direction of prayer. Has it? Or you're just listening on Sunday and going to meditate on it? You know, no matter how what is taught about prayer, if you've not prayed, you've not prayed. Amen. If you've not prayed, you've not prayed. Right? So look at verse 41. Right? We ended somewhere around here on Wednesday. We looked a little around a few things in Matthew 26. So look at verse 41. But before you go there, go to verse 25. Look at verse 21. Verily I say unto you that one shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for the man if he had not what? Been born. Now look at verse 25. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said what? Master, is it I? I hope you know, Judas who betrayed him is a reflective story. It means that for this to be written, they already knew who betrayed. You get what I'm trying to say? Right? Matthew wasn't speaking by word of knowledge. You get what I'm trying to say? Right? So, you know, I've taught you before that history shows the majority of the epistles were written even before Matthew, Mark, Luke, John were documented. So we had Ephesians, Galatians, a lot of those letters in circulation before we had Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Right, and there was no diary that people were carrying around with Jesus to document all their experiences. So people ask questions. Why is the narrative from Matthew different from Mark, Luke? Some details Luke will give you. Mark will summarize it. You know why? Because if two people, now look at it. If I asked all of you to write a story about how today's service went, your stories will be different. Your ideologies will be different. Right? The way you view life will be different. Your experiences will reflect. Right? There's an example you will give, and it's because you came by the train. Are we together? There's an example you will give because you came by driving or someone drove you. You get the point, right? So one of the things you must always understand and always remember is that when the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when they were written, they were written through the lenses of the various disciples. Okay? So it says in verse 27, and he took a cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my what? My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say to you, I will not drink of it. Now look at all the way in verse 31. Then said Jesus to them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the what? The shepherd and the sheep of the flock shall what? Be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Now what did Peter say in verse 33? Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be what? Offended. You know, we saw that on Wednesday. What does that mean? Yeah? Jesus, no matter what it is, right? I would never, if everybody leaves you, I will not forsake you. Right? If everybody abandons you, me, oh, Peter, right? Yeah? And from the part of the world where I come from, they say it as, we die here. They died here, right? We live here. Are we together? Right? Say, no, we are here to die. You're just trying to say that you're going to follow bumper to bumper. That's another slang again. You can use to communicate that. But you see, something happened in Jesus' response. Jesus now said, Jesus said unto Peter, I can imagine Jesus just responding to Peter, just laughing that kind of sheepish laugh and just sarcastic laugh. He's just saying, verily I say unto thee, this night will not even be complete. Before the cock will crow, you shall deny me three times. That's what? A prophecy. Are we together? Right? Yeah? That's a prophecy. Right? He says, this night. Do you understand what? See, if Jesus had said, before this time next week, you will deny me, the chances are higher. Do you understand? Because if I say something to you right now, there's a tendency, lots of things will take over your mind and you will forget what was even said to you. But imagine you are talking to you in the evening of a night, right? Because remind you, they were just having the Passover. They were having what people call communion table, right? And he says, before the cock crow, you deny me three times. I wish Jesus said you would deny me once. I wish he just said you would deny me. Then let's use our permutation in 2026 and say it was coincidence. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But Jesus said three times. He did not deny two times. He did not deny four times. Let me tell you. You know, it's easy for you to think that if you were Peter, you would have just zipped up your mouth throughout that day. Is it not true? You sometimes when you read some stories in the Bible, you'd be like, I could have done better than them. The joke is on us. You say, how can Jesus say you deny me three times? What just do? If they ask you, how are you doing? Just, how's everything going? Are we together? But guess what? Just as Jesus said it, it happened three times. Right? He says, I will go before you into Galilee, verse 10. When I said before the cross, verse 34, rather, that should deny me three times. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee. Do you know that kind of thing? It's as if I should even go to that cross with you. He says, yet I will not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Look at verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with him unto a place called Gethsemane. Right? And said unto his disciples, sit here while I go what? While I go and what? Pray yonder. All together. Right? The word there, pray yonder, there just really means, you know, you lie flat on the floor. You go into a separate place. You go to a distinct place, right? And supplicate in the place of prayer. You know, I've taught you before. Bible says that Jacob, right, fought. Is that correct? Look at Uzziah. Look at Uzziah. Not Isaiah, Uzziah. Anyone that, Uzziah, H, the one that starts with H. Uzziah. Chapter 4. Look at Uzziah chapter 4. No, look at chapter. Look at chapter. Look at chapter 12, I'm sorry. Verse 4. Chapter 12, verse 4, not 4:12. Chapter 12, verse 4. Look at Uzziah chapter 12, verse 2. It says, the Lord had also a controversy with Judah and will punish Jacob according to his ways. According to his doings, will he recompense him? Let's read verse 3 together. 1, 2, 3, go. He took his brother by his heel and what in the womb, and by his strength he had what? Power with God. How many of you remember the story of Jacob fighting with an angel or fighting with God? All together, right? Remember that song? I will never let you go unless you bless me. I will never let you go unless you bless me. Right? Yeah? What we thought was happening was a physical combat when Jacob was holding the shirt of an angel, let's say the wings, right? I will not go unless you bless me. Look at what Uzziah the prophet says. He says, he took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Look at verse 4, 1, 2, 3, go. He had power over the angel, and what? And prevailed. What did he do? He wept and made supplications unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. So what is the wrestling that Jacob had with the angel? Supplication. Are we together? Right? Supplication is the wrestling that Jacob had. So are we supposed to supplicate? Let me say it differently. Are we supposed to wrestle? Are we together? That's why when Paul talks about Ephesians, he says we wrestle not against. Right? It does not mean we don't wrestle. It is he is defining the kind of wrestle we do not do. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Are we together? Right? We wrestle not. So Jacob wrestled. In his wrestling, we see he wept. He supplicated. Are we together? He wrestled. He wept. He supplicated. So that's the tone of the prayer life of Jacob. And he says, I said it, even though it's a very tricky thing that, you know, it's something I really try to run away from. But I use it on Wednesdays as a good example. The acronym PUSH. Remember PUSH? What does PUSH mean? Pray until something happens. Yeah, even though it's a very interesting, but we can use it to just communicate what I'm trying to say. That means, pray until something happens means I will not let you go until you help, until you bless me. Do you get what I'm trying to say? It is, I will not leave you until you bless me. All right? So go back to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. So what now happened? Jesus went yonder to pray. Are we together? Right? That is to make supplication. Can we say Jesus went yonder to wrestle? Yeah? Because he went to pray. Are we together? Now look at verse 37. And he took with him Peter. Who is Peter? The one that is to deny him soon. Is that correct? And the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then verse 38 now says, then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. He says, tarry ye here, and what? Are you there? Verse 38, tarry ye here, and what? Watch with me. 39 now says what? And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed. Wait, who is Jesus? God in the flesh. Is that correct? God in the flesh. How did the Bible describe how he prayed? He fell his face to the ground. You know, you see some believers today say, no, we don't pray in posture. Our posture, we don't speak in tongues. We just talk in tongues. You know, prayer is communion. This is the chief communicator of communion. Are we together? Bible says Elijah prayed and he put his head where? In between his knee. Is that not correct? He prayed, he put his head in between his knees. But some of us today will say, no. You know, putting his head in between his knees is just a way of saying, you know, it's a figurative way. Or we say, no, that's old what? Old what? Testament. In the New Testament, we don't put our head between our knee. We lift our heads to God. He says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Don't even know the song they ever used to correct you. This thing is even another extremely interesting song. Right? So, Elijah had a posture of prayer. Jacob had a posture of prayer. It is not Old Testament. You know why? These people prayed this way because their emotions were fully wrapped into what they were doing. How many of you watch comedy skits or comedy shows and you laugh, and you jump off your chair and sit down on the floor and be slapping the floor? Yeah, a friend of mine posted a video yesterday. She was talking about how she has been on Instagram for a while and she laughed, and she started crying. It happens to people, Nabi. Yeah, you just go to some people's page. You just go and just watch a skit after skit, skit after skit. You laugh. You now start crying. You now try to catch your breath. Eh? But when it's time to pray, what do you say? You know, Pastor, you see, this thing is a communication between me and God. You know, my emotions, I don't know how to. I'm just very. It is because what you are doing, it hasn't gotten to you. Are we together? It hasn't gotten to you. Jesus went afar and he prayed. So God, okay, look at Hebrews 5. Go to your hands in Matthew 24, 26, right, and go to Hebrews 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, and look all the way in verse 7. Hebrews 5, 7. Are we together? Let's read verse 7 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, when he had what? Offered up prayers. Can we say when he had wrestled? Are we together? He offered up what? Prayers and supplication. With what? Strong crying. Did Jacob wept? You get the English. Yeah? Jacob cried. Jacob wept in the place of prayer. Are we together? Did Jesus weep in the place of prayer? Did Jacob weep in the place of prayer? Jacob and Jesus wept to the place of prayer, and what we call what they were doing was what? Supplication. So Jesus, who is God in the flesh, was praying, and he said, the Bible says, Hebrews now says he was making prayer and supplication with what? Strong crying and tears unto him that was able to what? Save him from death, and he was heard that in that he feared. That means when you had heard Jesus' prayer, you will hear his emotions being interpreted in the voice of his prayer. Somebody said that this is a figure of speech, like strong crying and tears. There's a parable. Okay, pray in the parabolic way. Let us be able to describe it as what? Strong crying and tears. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay, we agree with you. Yeah, look at it now. If somebody says that house is as big as a plane, there's something you are comparing it with. It means that you are seeing something big. Do you understand? So that is figure of speech. Okay, now we say that you are praying, supplicating in a parable. Jesus was praying and supplicating as a parable. Oh yeah, what are you, how are you doing your own prayer that we can link it to his parable? Now, this is where the problem is. People believe that prayer is done only when you exude a lot of energy and effort. No. You get the point? So you see some people now, because they are in an environment where people pray in a certain way, their mindset is just to get into weird positions. It is not their emotions that puts them there. Do you understand? It's an awareness of their environment that got them there. That's why some people, you see them doing like, after they bend their head, they say, yeah, they are sleeping off. I went together. You know, for instance, I remember I always share this story, right? On WCC, I went for like that, right? I don't think this brother knew that we're coming for. You know why they call it World Changers Conference? The word conference confuses you. You say World Changers Conference. You think you guy went to go and wear three-piece suits. He came with three-piece suits, you know. Ah, in my mind, I was just looking. I said, this brother doesn't know where he's coming to like this. I don't think they told him that your first stretch of hours is like 30 hours of prayer straight, no stop. In fact, then nobody was sitting down. You can't sit down. You will stand up all through. Now they started reducing it, you know, and people can see that intervals and all of those things. So this guy came, before you know it, with his three-piece suits. I'm sure what first shocked him was that we didn't do the prayer inside a hall. It was on that open field. So we just came out into open field, and thankfully there's no rain. And my time was so much. Before you know it, they've never finished giving the prayer point. The brother was already cropped. Oga, listen, let us hear what the focus is. Oga, let us hear what we are to pray about. No. Before you know it, he started pacing. I just need this one has not prayed for long before. Because if you've prayed for long before, you will know that you don't start from the top. You don't go up. You don't jump up. You grow up. If you've prayed for long before, you know that you grow up. You don't jump up, because if you jump up, you will fall down. Before you know it, 1 hour, 30 minutes into the prayer, I started hearing, Gah. He has already moved the suit, remain monkey jacket. I said, yeah, Gah. And then I said, we still have 29 hours to go. And before you know it, when you pass him, you are not even hearing his voice again. Before you know it, if I went to go out there, we had a canopy, like for each of the chariots. You know, even before you try to lean on the canopy. Before you know it, you say, Pastor, how do I know I saw him? Because I knew it would happen. It was the same way Jesus said he would deny him 3 times. I knew it like that. Jesus said, Peter, you would deny me 3 times. I knew that that guy, he would deny Jesus. Before you know it, he removed his second monkey jacket. He rolled his sleeve, right? He released the tie small. I said, you have come. My brother and people, this guy went to go and eventually sleep in the toilet. Before you know it, hour 4, hour 5. Where's our minister? He has gone. Are we together? Where? And I'm sure he'll be coming and be peeping and be checking. By the time he realized they almost want to wrap up the prayer, he now jump back. You know, so I'm trying to say that in those environments, a lot of times, you will know not to start with high intensity. So if your mindset is on intensity, you get to the beginning of the meeting and start with intensity. And it's not of you that will it. It's of you that the Lord shows mercy in that kind of meeting. Are we together? Right? So, are there times in those stretch of hours where we give ourselves to rigorous and everything is involved and it shows? Yes. But you cannot do it for 30 hours straight. Mind you, you've not eaten, no. That's what I'm going to say. You've not eaten, no. Right? It's not even like, it's not the one that they will give you snack in your pocket. You'll be munching on snack and be saying, I'll take coffee. I told you of the guy now who bought water bottle. The guy loaded it with, I don't know if it's Sprite or whatever it is. So they said we should go and drink water. Our guy stepped aside. He forgot that he shook the bottle. He forgot he has been shaking the bottle for long. So all of us just went to go and drink water. My brother just went to go on place. He just did, shh. Everything just splashed open. I know that kind of moment, everybody will be looking at you. You'll be wondering, should I drink? Should I drink or should I look for water? You know, so prayer is something that you ought to give yourself to, right? You see, those kind of meetings are meetings that stretch you. They are meetings, and it's something that is good for your skin. Are we together? It's good for you, right? It's good for your spiritual temperature, right? So the Bible says that Jesus was praying and making supplication with strong crying and tears. Are we together? Go back to Matthew 26. Amen? So is it beautiful to talk about the prayer life of Jesus? Yes. But what do you see from there is an example for you to follow. 1 Peter 2 verse 21. All together. Right? Yeah? And what do you think Jesus was praying about? Look at verse 39 now. Let's go to 39. 1, 2, 3, verse 39. Matthew 26, 39. 1, 2, 3, go. And he went a little further and fell on his face and he prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. What is he saying? I want your will to be done. So what was the focus of Jesus' prayer when he fell his face to the ground? The will of God. So if the Bible records that Jesus was praying with strong crying and tears, what was the focus of his prayer point? It couldn't have been his house, his car, his job. It has to be the will of God. Are we together? We find ourselves in generation. You know something, some things happen in some places. You find out that when the prayer focus is about, let's pray for ourselves, let's pray for our marital breakthrough, our financial breakthrough, all kinds of breakthrough, people will just shout. The moment you now switch to, let's pray for souls that are perishing, is then people begin to mumble words. But when it's time for their own, they will remove their shed. They will stretch. That's a selfish kind of prayer, right? Your prayer focus ought not to be on yourself. Your prayer focus ought to be on others. That's what true Bible teaching shows us. So forgiveness of sins was the focus of Jesus' prayer. Altogether, if you ask what was Jesus' will or God's will on the earth, really, what was Jesus' mission statement or vision statement? It would be that men come into the reality of God's love. Is that correct? And to what? Train them for the work of ministry. Is that not the vision of Jesus? Yes, now. Yeah? You can say it in different ways, but the focus is, that men are trained, right? That men are trained. Are we together? So look at verse 40. And he cometh unto disciples and findeth them what? Asleep. And said unto what? Peter. What? Could he not what? Watch with me for 1 hour. What do you now say in verse 41? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Thank you very much. Watch and pray what? That you what? Okay. Watch and pray that ye enter not into. What did he say he should do with them at the beginning? When he was leaving, what did he say? Watch with me for 1 hour. Are we together? What does watch with me for 1 hour mean? Pray. Yeah? How many of you used to, when we're growing up, used to hear watch and pray as when you want to go and sleep, before you do evening devotion, after you do evening devotion, go and check all the doors. Are we together? Go and check all the doors and all the windows. Some of us, we check the doors of our house 4 times between 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. Because you don't want the situation where you were hallucinating and all of a sudden you went to open the door by mistake. I forgot to lock it. Yeah? Sometimes some of us will even be on the bed. And as you are about this to just enter the next sleep, you say, is the door open? What do? You pause your sleep, you run down, you've already pushed the door. The handle says it's locked. You still try to turn the key. It's your environment. You get the point? Yeah? It's your environment. It's where you grew up in. You know, where you grew up in, your experiences will define how you even interpret God's love. You understand what I'm trying to say? Yeah? Your experience will determine God's love. Yesterday, in our house, one of the, so I slept without heating. You know, and everywhere just went dark. And my daughter was just, you know, my daughter was like, what's happening? Why did she ask what's happening? It's strange. She's barely 10 months. Right? That is our what? Our condition. See, you know, if I were to be in my home country and that happened, the first thing I'm going to think is not that my distribution box tripped off because of electrical fault. It is go and switch to what? Generator. 2 different people, same surname. Different experiences. Are we together? I'm saying to you that no matter your experience, let it be that God's word defines you. Why did I give you that example? There are people who believe they should not pray in certain ways, and it's only because they were born into money. That's why I gave you that example. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? Yeah? Because you feel like your experience is unique. So what exactly are you looking for? People now begin to make it look as though the people that pray aggressively in prayer, all of us together, we have needs. And our needs are what? Material needs. Are we together? But Bible begs to differ that the focus of Jesus' prayer was not around material things. So it means if Jesus had a... So if let's assume Peter and the other person that went with Peter to that Gethsemane. How do you pronounce it? I was trying to look at pronunciation on Wednesday. Gethsemane. Did I get it? Ah, you say no. What was I saying? Gethsemane? Gatsby man. Okay, Gethsemane. Gethsemane. You shall understand what I'm trying to say. He went to that place that was afar off. Are we together? Right? If Peter went there with a man called Joseph of Arimathea, you know Joseph of Arimathea? The one who lended him his tomb. You know what it means to have a tomb? Even today, you are rich. Do you understand? That you already have plans to say, this is where, this is, you've not finished using your land to build house for you to sleep. You are using your land to say, when I die, just put me in this land. You have a little money. If Jesus had Joseph of Arimathea with Peter on that journey, he will still say to him the same thing he said to Peter, watch and pray. So the texture of Jesus' prayer should be similar to Peter's prayer and should be similar to Joseph of Arimathea's prayer. Don't allow your experiences think. Someone was saying something to me a few months ago, right? And she was talking about, I don't use to pray. She was talking about a man of God in Nigeria, Pastor Deboye, who doesn't shout when he prays. Let me tell you something. Right? There are lots of things that happen behind the scene. May you be a believer who has a private prayer life that when you come to public, you just say, and things happen. Don't assume someone comes and use low voice, somebody shout hallelujah. You think, you too, you want to somebody shout, they will beat you. Demon will find you and beat you. Do you know what I'm saying? There's a video of Pastor Debbie that even was trending about 20, 30 years ago. How he was praying with a group of people in the camp. Obviously, he's getting old. But let me tell you, I can tell you for free that I know Pastor Debbie's prayer life when he was younger. Even though I was not alive. You can't see the kind of result he commands and not trace it to a man that trusts in God. You can't see it. All together, right? So there will be days, there will be times, there will be... There's somebody who at this age, right? Anywhere you see him, he's always... You think that's how your Christian life should be? They just gave birth to you, Gen Z, yo. You're even Gen Z. What's the next after Gen Z? Gen A? I mean, you start back to A now, Abby. Hey, Gen Alpha, now I got it. Go back, you're now Gen A. And I say, no. You know, even the men that God used, I'm saying, forget about physical men you have as an example. Let's look at the example of men God used in Scripture. What kind of encounter did Moses have with God? What kind of life did Jacob live with God? Let's say, okay, forget everybody. Who is a better example to show you how a Christian should be than Jesus? Guess what? Jesus gives a prophecy. He says, you will deny me 3 times. Guess what Jesus still did? He said, come, let's go and pray. Do you know a lot could have changed? A lot could have changed if Peter prayed. Yes. You know it's possible. Yeah. A lot could have been undone. But I'm still saying to you that it is still possible that the same things that happened when Peter did not pray would have happened when Peter prayed or if Peter prayed. You know why? Because the validation of your prayer life is not linked to results and should not be linked to results. You know why? Particularly results of the eyes of man. Because results for the eyes of men are always different. Now, this thing I just said is what makes me question that P-U-S-H push. You get what I'm trying to say? Right? Yeah, you know I said something as a disclaimer. I said, I don't really like the concept of the push, pray until something happens, but to communicate the points. Right? You know why? Because if you are saying pray until something happen, what you are expecting to happen is the result you have in your mind. You get the point? Right? And results don't validate that you are in obedience to God's will. I'll say it one more time. Results don't validate that you are in obedience to God's will. A man can have all the results he needs in this world and is in a different place that God would have had him stay. There are people who God has asked to leave their families right, so to leave their home countries rather, right, and go to locations that he will send them to go and establish a work there. But what happens? They remain in their comfort zone. Guess what? They now have results. That's why when you see somebody that who is preaching about financial prosperity as proof you're an assignment of in God's will, run away from them. Because they will also take you out of God's will if you are not careful. How do you know that you are the center of God's will? Yeah, think about it. See, two pastors can be sent to a location, the same city, to go and start different works. And one of them obeys God and goes to the location God told him. In fact, five different general overseers prove to him that that's where God will have you go. To the two of them. One of them goes to the city and he goes to that, you know, town. And in 2 years, in 3 years, he had only two members who he could say he trained and he discipled. And the other one who was in, supposed to be together with him in that city, he will go to another entirely different city. And the first 6 months, they are doing second service because they have 200 members. They are not both in the will of God. Only one is in the will of God. Because obedience is validated or proof that you're in alignment with God's will is linked to your obedience. Obedience is not always linked to results. Are we together? Obedience is not always linked to... I was hearing the story of a pastor who, a friend that reached out to him and told him that, you know, he got two jobs. The first job, they were going to pay him a fixed amount of money, maybe £100,000, for instance, right? Then the second job offer, they were going to pay him probably, maybe, let's assume, £300 or £400 or £500 per day. You know what £500 per day means for a year? That's 2.5 in a week. 2.5 in a week times 52. That's already running into almost 150K, right? And they gave him the two offers, right? And the guy came to meet his pastor and he said, "Pastor, which one should I take?" And what the pastor say? So the pastor knew which one he should not take. But you know, sometimes in ministry, you learn the hard way sometimes, right? Sometimes when people ask you for certain counsel, right, because you know their level and the level of their heart, level of their faith, right, it's safer to restrain from giving clear instruction. Because somebody who is not mature enough and you tell to take, somebody got a job in this church. I remember I've said it before. You got a job in this church, got two jobs. And I said, no, don't take the one that looks less logical. Few weeks after the ideally would have started that role, what happened? They made the company became bankrupt. So imagine, Lord, pray until something happens. You now pray, they now give you the contract, £500 per day. And there's another one that is 60,000 per year. See, God will not lead me to, you are the one leading yourself. What now happened? 3 months into the job, the guy took the one that was more juicy. 3 months into the job, they laid him off. They said it took him 4 years for that guy to get a job again. It took him 4 years. Do you get what I'm saying? Somebody who, two options were rushing him. It took him 4 years after they laid him off in the third month for him to get another job. Obedience, like they will say, is better than what? Abi? Eh? Better than sacrifice. Yeah? Another way you can say it is obedience is better than your way. Right? So prayer is something that you do to show your dependence on God. Another thing is when you pray and God now shows you what to do, listen to it and act on it. There is no instruction God gives you in a place of prayer that doesn't have an implication. Are we together? So Peter came and they came to pray. What happened? Jesus came in verse 40 and said, Peter, now hold on. Look at verse 40. Who did Jesus speak to in verse 40? Who did Jesus find asleep? No. Look at it again. Who did Jesus find asleep? The them. Is that correct? That means them means more than one. Who did Jesus speak to? Peter. Right? What did he say to Peter? What? Could you not watch with me for what? 1 hour. Now, I hope you know 1 hour in Jesus' time is 1 hour today. Don't say an hour is a day like a day. How did they say it? 10,000 years like a second to God. That's not what he's saying 1 hour here. 1 hour here means 60 minutes clock. So Jesus expected the prayer life of his disciples for that watch to be what? 60 minutes. How many times did Jesus leave them to go and come back? Three times. So a minimum of how many hours? 3 hours. Imagine Jesus did not pray. Now watch again. He says, What? Could you not watch with me? Verse 21. Watch and pray that you enter not into what? Temptation. The spirit indeed is what? Willing. But the flesh is weak. He went away again and second time and he prayed again, saying what? Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be. Is that the same prayer point? So can believers pray the same prayer point for 3 hours? Is that Jesus showing you? He did it 2 times. Now look at the 3rd time. He went away again, verse 43. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were what? Heavy. What did he do? He left them and went away again and prayed the 3rd time, saying the same words. Look at verse 45. It says, then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. So the Jesus know ahead. Listen to what I'm about to show you right now. The Jesus know ahead that he was going to be betrayed. Yes, did he pray? Yes, did the prayer stop betrayal? No, you know why? Because God doesn't force his will on other men. What prayer does to you at all, if at all it does anything, what prayer does in a situation of praying for others, it works on you. Are we together? Yes, prayer works on who? On you. Yeah? Prayer works on you. So let me ask you a question. Let's assume Peter was praying for the will of God. And if he did that for 3 hours, would he be a better person? Yes, he would. Are we together? Right? So Jesus came and a time came, he said, you know what? Sleep on. Rest. Some of us, I was saying last week Sunday, we're in a season of rest. We've not labored. Are we together? You know, and some of us as believers were very interesting. When a new wave of doctrine comes to light or limelight, you think it is new. But because it makes you a more complacent believer, you hug it and run with it. That's why you see people like, a lot of people like the message of what they call grace message, because it makes them to continue living in their sin. That's why you can see two people who are cohabiting and they come to church and they come and lift up their holy hands. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, both of you came, in fact, after you slept in the night, you still had sex that morning before you came to church. Oh. Right? You now come and say, we lift our hand. What's the song you sang today? Crown, casting crown, lifting hands. Eh? It's come, we come to do. You are my God. You will still finish. Pastor will still talk about it. You still use transport to go back to the same place. And I say, you know, God took look past my sin and shame and guilt and poured your love. You look, I'm the one you have shown mercy. You are an irresponsible believer. Now, because it's now the most common talk. I remember there was a lady here now, 2 guys here, they were doing it now. So I cautioned them, right? So what did they start doing? They're now busy me and play where you don't know. See, I've been in the streets before I became born. They came for the same house. So the guy will drop the lady at one bus stop close to church and she will now be trekking to church. They came, as in they slept on the same in the same house. I asked one brother, I said he was staying with his girlfriend. I said, what does she do when she wants to shower? I said, I faced the wall. I closed my eyes, I faced the wall when she went to where to where. Right? You now drop the sister at the door down, you now come, and now they will now come and meet you. They say, oh, good morning, brother. How are you? Good morning, sister. How are you? When they are going up, the brother will be using the same mouth to be shouting, should I drop you at home so that I will hear? Can I give you a lift home? the truth is, did he not give her a lift home? Are you with me? What you'll be assuming is that I say, can I give you a lift home? If they be like, oh, let me go and change my route, drop you in your house, then go home. We'll meet during the week, right? And we're in the same. In this Gospel Palace UK that we are 3 years here. But I might not talk about it, does not mean I don't know. Yeah? I might not say anything about it, does not mean I don't know. Right? Yeah? And all those things come from the knowledge that people are communicating as the limelight message. You say, the message of grace. God doesn't. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, we know you are righteous, but be responsible. You can be righteous and your ways are unrighteous. Let me tell you, that God made you his righteousness does not mean that your righteous, unrighteous work becomes righteous. God, one brother was saying the other time that God, the believers does not sin. People, I've heard things in this world, though. Believers does not sin because God sees us in Christ. So when God wants to see your sin, he looks through the lens of Christ. And what does he see? He sees a righteous man. That's the kind of person you run away from. Because the day you upset that person, they carry a knife and stab you. God does not see my sin. Is it not true? Yeah, no, God does not. God sees me in Christ. I'm not a murderer. No. The law might say I'm a murderer. I'm not a murderer. You better carry your load and run. If you have daughters, carry them from those people. And if you have sons too. Are we together? A lot of us want to live in the light of a message in one extreme without understanding that the truth of God's word is fully and compassingly balanced. Are we together? Right? So Jesus was one who was praying even though he knew that Peter was going to betray him. But guess what? Peter did what? So you now see a lot of believers saying, no, I don't. What led me to all those stories was when you see believers say, I don't labor. I just rest on the promises of God. Are we together? I just rest on the promise. My sins are forgiven. One pastor was telling me, they called another pastor to order and they were trying to correct him for a misdeed he did. Instead of needing to own up and take accountability of what he was doing, he started saying, no, you can't label me like that. I'm a righteous of God in Christ Jesus. We know you are righteous. But we're saying this thing you did is unrighteous. Own it. Admit it. Are we together? Until you admit things like that, that is when you can begin to think there's a need to change it. Anything you do wrong that you don't admit, it means that you are willing to keep it that way forever. You understand? So you first need to admit. So people will not say, I don't labor. I'm a man of rest. I'm a man of rest. Bible says Jesus, God rested on the what? On the seventh day. And Hebrews now lets us see that the resting of God is me resting in him. I rest in his work. I don't labor. Yeah? Which now makes people go into application. When you want to apply for a job, you say what? I'm not going into labor market. I'm going into the favor market. Are we together? Yeah? I don't go. No. I just believe that if I apply to 5 jobs, I should get 4 offers. Hallelujah. You know some of those things. It's better somebody tell you and you learn from their lesson than for it to be your own experience. I don't, no. Everything is favor. But the truth remains that because man is involved, have you not seen situations where people got at the best in an opportunity? But because the man who is making the final decision just has a problem with your son's name, and he assumes that your son's name is the name of the lecturer who failed him from finishing with first class. You know those things happen? You just see one, you just say, what's this name? This name is the man of is my name of a lecturer who allowed me to fail my CA test that made me not to finish with. I now finished school with 4.499. Are we together? There are people who have experiences like that, and there are people who just feel. Sometimes you go to a player and you just say, I just like your person. I don't know people like that. Just feel like just like your personality. I just think like I like you. I feel like I like the image you sent. What am I saying? I'm saying you can experience favor in labor market. Experiencing favor in labor market does not convert labor market to favor market. You do get that? Experiencing favor in labor market does not change labor market to favor market. You can be favored in labor market, but you must understand there is a rigorous attention or effort that must be put to things. Which is what I'm linking to this idea of rest. When you say, I don't pray, I only just thank God. Right? So, one question you can ask me like that. So, if they kidnap your cousin. No. If they kidnap your, even Paul says, pray for me that I may be delivered. It not say, thank God. It not say, join me to thank God that I am delivered. He said, that I may be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. He says, pray for us. Yeah? If they kidnap someone, maybe a relative or a cousin, right? What will you do? I just thank God because I see release. I receive release. I just receive release. I just see release. Are we together? Right? So don't get yourself into one extreme, forgetting there's another extreme. Let me tell you, there is the finished work and there's ongoing works. Let me call it differently, unfinished. Prayer is not a finished work. Your righteousness reality is finished. Prayer is ongoing. That's why we teach in God's palace. We pray so that we can pray to continue praying so that we continue praying. Prayer is not something you get to and say you've arrived, you stop. No. Prayer is an ongoing reality you must have in your Christian faith till your last breath in the flesh. Don't be that one who prays only when there are issues. Are we together? Only when issues happen. Let me tell you something. Let prayer meet, let issues meet you praying. You get what I'm trying to say? Not like you don't used to pray before all of a sudden one thing just happened. You now say, in this home, you now be doing man of house. In this home, I declare 100 days fasting and prayer. I'm the head of this home and nobody must eat before four. Right? Nobody must eat before four. We must insist and persist in the place of prayer. Right? So what do you now do? Someone that does not even used to pray 5 minutes before. Someone that does not have a prayer life before. You now be getting yourself to a position where you are just looking at time. And you know when you are that kind of person and pray like that, time does not go fast. You know, if you start praying for long, for instance, and you start learning parts of praying for long, one of the things you will see, right, is that, remember, one of my friends, so I've done it for a while, but I think some of my friends came together to pray in 2018 in a Nigerian church, right? So we just locked ourselves. Were you there? Okay. Right, we just locked ourselves in a room and we're just praying. So I saw one brother. They've never finished giving the prayer focus. They're already looking at the time. I say, your battery will stop. Because that kind of prayer, by the time you pray, you would think you have labored. You just realize 2 minutes gone. You will start again. Or you try to increase your volume. Your increase in volume does not make the time run faster. It doesn't make the time run faster. You finish it again, 7 minutes gone. See, what is happening? Right? You now be trying to look. So leaders already know me, for instance. When you come for a special meeting with me, for instance, a training or a retreat, don't forget about your work. In fact, it's not in God's palace. When you come for a meeting, what do? Everybody drops their watch and their phone at the door. I'm the one that determines the time. You can't use your time to pressure me. And how I trained them then was, we don't pray and tell you, I'm going to be praying this prayer for the next 4 hours. At least you know that one will prepare your mind. Yeah, what I used to do is, I know that by the time you come and you start praying, you are always looking at the key times. You understand? 6:15, 6:30, 6:45, 6:59. You don't realize you're still praying at 7:01. You say, okay, we start again. All right, you continue again. Jake, I'm looking at you. Yeah, you know why? If you don't pray, nobody can pray for you. If people pray for you and you don't pray, you are not better for it. Because prayer first works on you. Say, I have praying machines. Some people, they know how to give people. I remember, I think I used to hear from my dad, when you say some men, they will give them. Okay, I remember this story from my dad. When he was saying, it's like one rich man or something gave some men prayer money to go and pray for them on the mountain. My dad was on the mountain with them praying throughout the night, though, but this old guy was sleeping throughout the night. Only for him to wake up in the morning and call the guy that sent him money. You say, we prayed for you all night. Your days ahead are bright. That's the person you allow your life to be linked on. Someone who you gave transport to go and pray for you and he slept with your transport money. You say, no. I just believe that. You know, God answers prayer. God does all of that. But you must understand that prayer first works on you. Right? So Jesus prayed. Who do you think was the chief beneficiary of Jesus' prayer ministry? Himself. Are we together? That is why betrayal did not change. Are we together? But you know what changed? What changed was the posture of Jesus' heart to betrayal. Yeah? The posture of Jesus' heart to betrayal was what changed. So he says, and he came and found them sleeping again. He said, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time. Sorry, verse 46. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that does what? Betray me. Let's read verse 47 together. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with what? Swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a what? Are you there? Matthew 26, 48. He gave them a what? A sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. He now says, hold him fast. Let me ask you a question. You know that Jesus did not know. Let me say it differently. The people who wanted to arrest Jesus did not know Jesus until they gave a sign. Something happened in our law office last year. I don't know if I said it publicly. I said it in a leaders meeting. When a new person came to church, have I said it in public? When a new member came to church to our law feast, right? And so somebody had mentioned and said, let's just say pastor, something pastor. right? So I saw he was sitting right in front of me, and he was just asking, who is the pastor? You know, I felt good that day. I felt very good. Because we're less than 30 there. Someone came for the first time. He's the only new person. And he looked at all of us. In fact, I even welcomed him at the door. Right? And I brought him inside. Oh, you can go and sit and everything, blah, blah, blah. That was his name. And he told me his name. I told him my own name, too. I said, oh, I'm Joshua. Nice to meet you. So he came inside. So I'm sure somewhere in his mind, he was assuming the pastor will come with like three protocol. One will carry his iPad, one will carry his bag, one will carry his anointing bottle. I'll follow him behind. Right? So when I started asking, who's the pastor here? So the lady who brought it was not saying, one day. He now looked at me and I carried my eye away. But I felt good because that's similar to what happened to Jesus' ministry. If Jesus had only 12 disciples, they needed to get somebody from his inner carcass to show them who he was. That means there's nothing that stood out about his personnel that anybody could come and say, this is the master. Do you know what I'm trying to say? If Jesus lived like some of us in our generation, you know there's a trend, it's a comic skit that's going on around line where people are talking about how mega churches treat their, you know, and all of those kind of. Now, there's a place for some of these things. And one of the things I've learned in ministry is there are shoes you've not worn. And if you've not worn, you don't try to explain the pain. Yeah? There are things, I remember I was saying to leaders over the weekend, I said, my dad, when we finished church, mommy, you remember this, when we finished church, he would go and drop members in their home. My dad will, you know, maybe listen to a message or play in a track or something. And people will just be chit-chatting in the car and just be blah, 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 just talking. In fact, to the point some of them will even be picking their phone to be talking to their girlfriend and just be laughing. And my dad, who is the driver of the car, of his members, we have to now reduce the volume of the music he was playing so that you can hear your voice. That's so dishonorable. Your pastor has you in the car. It's not a life or death issue where they say, okay, fire on the mountain. The fire extinguisher is under the bed. That is different. It is, how's your day now? Is everything going well now? Have you eaten? What are you eating? And he came back. You know, some people don't know that that's dishonorable. Right? Now, let me now tell you what my dad now did. When he stopped it and he did not stop, and people still did not know, he stopped picking people in his car. If somebody came to God's palace and met my dad at that face, they would say he's a proud man. No, that's not true. He had experience. I'll be in the car with him in front. He has like two layers of three-seaters. And he'll be jumping. People don't even know how to. Some people, they see greatness, they don't know how to behave. Let me tell you, how anybody that behaves that way, you cannot stand in front of a president and be normal. Yeah? You can't stand in front of a president and be normal. You might go to front of the president now and just be, and maybe, I don't even know how can I even say, imagine you just shake president, you know, do. That's why we teach you these things in church, because we expect that. You know something I found out about life? University does not teach you about life. University teaches you to be employable. That's why there are some very basic soft skills. As a pastor, when I'm saying it to you, learn it. When you meet a rich man, don't be the first to stretch your hand. So that you don't even know not to shake. You shake, you now do. You now shake, you now do shoulder, with president. now, some people might say, no, you are taking it extreme. Do you know why you don't do that? That man is the most important man in that country. He needs to be protected by all means. You can have a powder in your hand and you want to touch him and he wants to so that you can kill him. Don't be the one to try and be, and you know some of us, you go and sit in front of a mentor, you'll be asking questions more than, you'll be trying to explain yourself more than the mentor. Yeah, I just got this contract here, and I just got this job. In fact, I was privileged to buy a 10-bedroom mansion. A mentor, someone you should be learning from. You talk more. I know what smart people do. I don't know how I got here, but probably you learn from it. You know what people do? They look at you, and they say, oh, that's good. Thank you for the information. They won't tell you thank you for the information, no, but they know how to mark you. Because it means that you are telling me you have 10 bedrooms, so it means you don't have anything to learn from me. So it means I should not waste my time on you. You know what I'm trying to say? Right? I hope you're learning what I'm trying to say, right? Where did I even get to that could be to this story? That's what church is about. You learn everything together. Jesus. You didn't know Jesus' identity. Now, listen to what I'm about to say. Now, that does not mean that when you see a pastor having right protocols in place, that you say, no, he's not doing like Jesus. No. Do you also know that Jesus had protocol when he was walking? Why do you think a woman with the issue of blood touched him from behind? And he said, "Who touched me?" And they said, "Master, can you not see? Can you not see?" That means if these guys did not stand around him, right, they could have mobbed him. You get what I'm trying to say? Right? So obviously, as you grow, as things are going to change, some of those things can change. But what I'm trying to say is that in all of the changing, let it be expressed that you are humble. Stay humble. Altogether. Right? So I was saying to you that they needed the Judas to betray Jesus to say, "This is Jesus. Go and kiss him. And when I kiss him, you know that that's Jesus." And what happened? Jesus now says, look at what Jesus says now. "Now he that has betrayed him gave them a sign," verse 48, "saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come?" What did he call him? Friend. Yeah? Friend there is not parable. Altogether. Yeah? And friend was not sarcastic. You get the point? What do you think made Jesus maintain composure to say friend in the midst of thick betrayal that he knew was coming? He prayed. What does prayer do? He helps your heart. Prayer cannot stop your best friend from offending you. But prayer can stop you from responding as an evil person to your best friend who offended you. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah? Prayer will not stop your best friend from offending you. Right? But prayer will stop you and stop your response. Prayer has a way of fine-tuning your... That's why I always tell you, you cannot hate who you pray for. That one is loud, though. Yeah? You cannot hate who you want. Who you want. Who you pray for. Right? Yeah? You can't hate who you pray for. Yeah? You can't hate who you pray for. Yeah? So when you find somebody who is... Somebody who is always offending you, someone who's always upsetting you, what do you take out of time and pray? Amen. That's how you keep your heart in check. Praise God. See, prayer helps your heart. I can give you stories upon stories upon stories. Prayer helps your heart. I was talking to someone over the week, a friend of mine, you know, and one of the things he said was very remarkable. I won't talk about that in details. I said to him, the only reason why this relationship seems to be getting back was because I took out nights and hours to pray for you. Are we together? Now, what did prayer not do really? Prayer did not necessarily, it's possible he could not have gotten his part back and traced it back. But the truth is that prayer helped my heart to stay in check regardless of what I felt was unfair. Are you with me? Are you with me? So ensure you give yourself to prayer and pray rigorously. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and what? Took him. And behold, one of them, which was Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword. Who is that? Who drew out his sword now? And he struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into this place. For all they that have the sword, all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. What did Jesus do? Bible says, he bent down, he picked another translation, will show you that. So Peter, do you know I believe that Peter was doing that gymnastic to try and undo his betrayer? Are you with me? Yeah, at this point, has he betrayed Jesus? Has he denied Jesus? Yeah, he hasn't denied Jesus at this point, right? Do you believe that there's somewhere in his subconscious where he would have felt, this man has said, I'll deny you 3 times. Let me show up to him. You know, the way I told him that I will go with you anywhere you go. I will never leave you nor forsake you. How are you, my friend? How do you do, my friend? Abi? Yeah? I want to show that I've got your back. Okay? Someone that still caught somebody's ear. They ask him. In fact, do you realize that one of the people that asked you was a small girl? They ask him, do you know Jesus? Jesus, is that the name of an animal, place, or thing? Is that the name of an animal, a place, or a thing? Jesus, how do you spell the name Jesus? Jesus. Is it Y? Y-E-S? By the pronunciation, are you sure? Now, Jesus will now do something very tangible. Let me tell you one other thing again that prayer did for Jesus. Prayer kept Jesus stable in the midst of the arrest. Are we together? prayer kept Jesus stable in the midst of his arrest. Let's close in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. Look at verse 5. But when thou dost alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand does. What is the meaning of that parable? Yes. Be private, right? It means don't have to announce. You know, one of the problems we have in our generation right now. Let me tell you something very interesting before we close. Our generation is very optics driven. Are we together? Very optics driven. You want to help somebody who is homeless. I really believe you can help people without making a fuss out of it. Except you have an ulterior motive. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yeah, some people, when they want to make budgets to help and feed people, and you see, let me tell you something. So, if some pastors hear what I just said right now and say, and that's why people are insulting us, they don't know what the church does behind the scene. Let me tell you, when you do things as a believer, who is it for fundamentally? It's for God. It's to God. Do you understand? And that's why if you are driven by what the optics are going to say or what they will not say, right? It's an unending journey. Because they will push you. They will push you. Eh? That's why you see a pastor, for instance, he has to come and say, do you know how many people have sent to university? It's not necessary. Right? Do your own. Clear your heart. Make it clear. Do you understand? Right? And that's why you see a lot of... Now, see the funny thing. Now, I was saying something during the Christmas period before we went away, when we were trying to do some of those things. I said, a lot of times, people just think that if you are not vocal about some bad things that are happening around, it means that you are in support of it. You know, because of the optics of this world, I'm saying to you, don't fall into the trap. Now, if you feed 1,000 people in the UK every month, is that a good thing? That's good. Is it wrong if you have pictures there? Not necessarily. But what do you do with the pictures? Pictures can be used to remind you, instead of NGO. Pictures can be used to remind you of, you know, what you've done before. If you're not doing it again, maybe you should bring your remembrance. One day, you know, Google Photos just tell you, this time last year, we're feeding the poor. What are you doing this year? You're eating all your food. Right? Jesus will say, right, when you do something with your left hand, don't let your right hand know. That means learn to do things in the private and let God be the one that judges and rewards you. There will be an audience of one you will stand in front of. You know, I'll tell you as a pastor, let me tell you, it happens almost everywhere. Right? Let me not say what I didn't say. I'll say it in a different way. If you gather a church, right, and you say we have a building project. Listen to what I'm about to show you now. We have a building project as a church. Right? And they say there will be a basket pastoral around. Let's give as the Lord bless you. You know, when they count what everybody gives, it won't go anywhere. But if the pastor comes and says, praise the Lord, somebody. Praise the Lord, somebody. I need 10 people who can give £10,000. If you are there, come out. Some people start there as if they're humble. They will try to bend their head so that the camera will not capture them. And you don't know it's when you are bending that people know that there's something happening. You say 10,000 people. When you now count, the money you needed for the building, 10 people are already giving you. But when you ask basket to go, when people don't know who is giving, see, kill that thing in your mind. You know what I'm trying to say? Kill that thing in your mind. When you want to do things for God or do things for people, and you have to make sure, right? Eh? If they don't call my name, I want to thank of Sister Esther. She sponsored the entire meeting venue of Novotel for the next 3 months. We can't clap and you don't do. This one we have clapped for you. Waste our clap. Eh? She now say. Pray. You are just happy they called your name. I've not seen churches where they do highest giver and they write on a billboard. You don't know. Finance department will print document for you. Shebi, you are saying you used to give. You know, some of us now used to give envelope that is empty. Eh? You dance to the envelope. You go to the front. You draw empty envelope. It's people that count money that know now. They open the envelope. First one empty. Second one empty. Third one empty. You are laughing. It's the reality now. I be wondering. People will be dancing. Right? Or maybe you want to put coin. You just throw coin. Now when you want to give coin, you have to hold the coin in the envelope. You know, you have to hold the exact coin position. Right? They'll be dancing. Is that great thing to serve the Lord? They will not think you that used to go every Sunday. You are the highest giver. But then they say, Brother Mutokwe, we want you to sponsor this law fees for next year. And I say, okay, Pastor, we'll just do, it's unto the Lord. But if, now only him could sponsor the law feast. But if I say, bring basket, give everybody envelope, write what you want, don't write it, just put it inside. That's when you start seeing people dropping it. We can count, I'm telling you the reality of what happens in churches. Though. We can count what everybody eventually gives, and it's not up to what only him could have given, and he gave in that basket. You know why? Because we always like to do things for the public. You know, Jesus, I'm going to close here, but I won't read it down. I'll pick it up on Wednesday. Jesus was teaching that in relation to even prayer in the next few verses. He says, don't pray like the heathen. Who are the heathen? How can you be saying you want, you're having, you know, all your prayer meeting, everything. There's no private prayer meeting you do behind the scene. Everything, live stream, everything, camera. Everything, camera. Everything. Amen. God has led me to pray for some people. Have a prayer life. There's a lot you do behind the scene. And not everybody needs to see what you do behind the scene. And if they don't acknowledge what you do behind the scene, what do you do? Be okay with it. You know who sees behind the scene? God always sees behind the scene. Look at someone talking about the things we've learned today.